Good to be here this morning. July the 4th is a very important day in our nation, and I want to thank the church for having a potluck to celebrate my birthday today, too. I thought that was kind of nice. Most of you know that, I say some of you know that I was having an issue in my body, and I was in the hospital about 5 days, and everything turned out fine. So I just want to thank you for your prayers. But thinking of July the 4th, it's already been said here by Pastor Dave, what a great honor it is to be an American. Last night, and I assume some of you also were at the Freedom at Freeland Park and the firework display. Sometimes we don't realize just exactly what's going on. And the rocket's red glare and the bombs bursting in there gave proof through the night that the flag was still there. I don't know if you know that story, but if you don't, you need to, of exactly what went on when that writer wrote the Star Spangled Banner. And as those fireworks went off, I couldn't help but be proud to be an American. And it seems like in these days we're losing so much of what has made this country great. And you know, it's not politics, it's not Republican, it's not Democrat. It's where the church is. 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's my people who are called by my name. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins. And I will heal their land. That was given to Israel when the temple was built, finished. And it was such a celebration. The glory of God was so strong. The priest could not even stand the minister. So it was a time of prosperity. But we know the history of Israel forsook God. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. So, if we want our nation godly, it's the church that must come out of a compromised position. Our country is great because we have a great heritage. Our founding fathers were godly, and the Constitution is a godly document. I used to be a patriot. Now I'm a redneck patriot. I have this up here, this model aircraft. This is when I flew in Vietnam. So it represents warfare. It's a fleet aircraft. That means you have to go through many levels to be able to sit in this cockpit. But when you finish, you put the wings on, gold wings. Air Force is silver. We wear gold wings. You're trained. You're combat ready. One of the greatest weaknesses in the church today is the Christians are not combat ready. And that's where I'm leading today. You know, I forgot my sheet that had all the blanks filled in, so we're all on the same page. So you're kind of on your own to fill in the blanks. I've never done that before. I usually preach by the letter method, open your mouth and let her fly. So I have kind of a structure here. But what I want to talk on in the time that I have, Pastor Dave, I said, Pastor Dave, do I only have till 11? He says, well, if you can take 1 minute after if you want to. I thought that was gracious of him. I want to speak on the fundamental doctrine of faith. He put, as the text, Hebrews 11:1, and now I told him Hebrews 11:6, but he's probably older than me and kind of forgot, because I forget too. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible. Everybody say impossible. It is impossible without faith to please God. And he that comes to God must, everybody say must. Must believe, everybody say believe. Must believe that he is. And then, when that's fulfilled, he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, one day, I didn't just walk up to this aircraft and jump in the cockpit and combat ready. Scare me to death. We Christians need to be combat ready. And it doesn't happen in one day. My definition of faith is, this is my definition, believing what God says and acting on it. Part of what what I'm sharing with you today is basically who I am. It's kind of the guideline of my life. Believing what God says and acting on it. I used to say, God said it. I believe it. That settles it. That's probably one of your blanks. I believe it. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. It doesn't work that way. Here's how it works. God said it. That settles it. It's over. You do have a choice. But God said it. It's settled. It's over. Now, the scripture definition, Hebrews 11:1. Hebrews 11 is a great chapter. I call it the Hall of Faith chapter. If you want to learn about faith, you go to Hebrews chapter 11. But Hebrews 11:1 is the biblical definition. It says, now faith is a substance. A lot of times we just pass over now faith. It doesn't mean like, okay, kids, now it's time to go to bed. You know, like you're going to explain something or you're going to do something. No. It's now. Everybody say now. Aaron's sitting over here. How you doing, Aaron? The other day, I wanted her to come to me. You know, I'm her grandpa. I should have some authority. She kind of had her own idea. I said, Aaron, come here. Boom! She opened the door and was going the other way. Aaron! Come here. She kind of stopped, looked at me, still at the door. I said, Aaron, come to me now. Now, if I said that, do you think I meant in 5 minutes? Or tomorrow? No, it means now. And that's the emphasis here on this verse. Now. Everybody say now. So now faith. God wants to give us understanding and revelation for where you are right now. And we don't look at it that way. But that's what the Bible's saying. It's right now. Not tomorrow. Not what you worked on and leaned on yesterday. It's today is when you're going to need this faith. We have faith for today. We cannot rely on yesterday's events or tomorrow's hope. Today. Matthew 6 is pretty clear on this. Matthew 6 is the chapter about worrying. And you worry about this, you worry about that. And chapter 6 says, well, look at the sparrows. God knows about the sparrows. He feeds them. He takes care, and even knows when one dies. The lily of the field, it's so beautiful. You didn't paint the lily of the field. You didn't cause it to have its beauty or any growth of flowers. God did that. You don't worry about that. You don't worry about how tall you are. He knows exactly how tall you are. He knows how many hairs are numbered on your head. Some of us give Him less time to count. Why worry? Then Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things that you worry about will be added unto you. 34, take no thought for tomorrow. You have now faith. You have faith for today. God's going to give you what you need for today. Take no thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought for itself. Sufficient unto today is the evil. You got enough to handle today without spending all your time worrying about tomorrow. We worry about yesterday and we sweat about tomorrow. I wrote down here two songs. I don't dare sing them. I don't know about tomorrow. I just know about today. Now, I remember when the song One Day at a Time came out. That was my favorite song when it came out. And it's that truth. One day at a time. Sweet Jesus. Yesterday's gone. One day at a time. So now we can get by now faith. You see how I use the word now? Because that means I'm going to go on. But that's not what that now means. It means use what God has for you in your life each day. But now, faith is the substance. Everybody say substance. Now, substance means it's real. Faith is substance. It's not smoke. It's not air. It's not a theory. It's not thinking. It's real. Somebody hold your Bible up. If you don't have a Bible, get a hold of something. You know, grab your tie or you've got something in your hand. Is it real? Yeah, it's substance. So, you know, don't go thinking, you know, well, you know, I don't know about faith, you know, it talks about. No, it's real. It has substance. Now, we have faith is the substance of things so far, the evidence. The evidence of things not seen. This is what you bring to court to prove something, to make a cause for your case to prove something's true. Evidence. So we have substance and we have evidence. And that's what it's describing what faith is. So, evidence is what's in your heart. The truth that you know. The Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Someone said, truth doesn't set you free. You know what sets you free? It's the truth that you know that sets you free. There's a lot of truth out there, but if you don't know it, if it's not evidence in your heart, then you haven't experienced the substance to give you evidence in your heart, the truth that sets you free. So we're going someplace. So the substance is the Word of God. It's the truth that God's given us in His Word. And the evidence is what's working in your life. So we have the promises of God in God's Word. The evidence The substance is what God says in His Word. And it's like the blessed hope, which we talked about already this morning a little bit. We all understand the blessed hope. That's what gives us a meaning. That's what gives us the reason to keep going. That's why the trials of this life, the things that tend to drag us down, make it worth it because we're going someplace. We have a blessed hope. The Bible says if in this life only we have hope, we are of all people most miserable. Can you imagine going to, say, a loved one's funeral and you're not a Christian, your family's not a Christian, and the loved one's gone? And as already said this morning, Pastor Dave started to say, I was sad. Well, you know, am I really saddened? Well, no, the brother is in heaven. When I was in the VA hospital, I got word that my brother died in Texas. So we had to go fast forward. I tried to get the doctors to move fast, and they understood, and they did. And I was able to get out of the hospital on a Friday, fly on Saturday, and be able to preach the message that next Monday. But he was sick for 12 years. He didn't know me. He didn't know anybody. He's 9 years younger than me. But you know what? He's in heaven. And I have a blessed hope. I'm going to see my twin. By the way, I am a twin too. On July the 4th. That's not bad. He's gone too. My mom and dad are gone. Blessed hope. It's going to be worth it all when we see Jesus. So sad when someone dies without Christ, particularly a loved one. The circle is broken. We're going to be rejoicing in eternity. So the trials, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Some of us like to go fishing. I'm looking around. There's my fishing talking buddy over there. I've never been with him yet. Lynn's dad brought us 5 Dungeness crabs this week. And I'm thinking of heaven. Won't it be wonderful, guys? You know, you could fish all day here and it doesn't happen. But up there you say, over here, on my hook, oh, I got one! It's going to be wonderful. What would life be without a blessed hope? Keep your eyes focused. See, that's what faith does. The substance is that it says it in God's Word. And my faith is activated because I know it's truth. It's inside here. You can't steal it from me. That's part of who I am. The Bible is full of hope. One of the best ones is, as we probably know, most of us, Colossians 1, 26 and 27. The mystery that has been kept hidden for ages. The mystery. When the Bible says mystery in the New Testament, it means it used to be a mystery, now it's revealed. So it was a mystery in the Old Testament to how this gospel thing is going to work. There was a Messiah. He's coming, He's coming, He's coming, He's coming, He's coming, He's coming. So they didn't have any idea what it was going to be like, what it was going to happen, what was going to be like that we enjoy. It says the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the saints. And what is it? You're thinking right now. Okay, I'll tell you. To them, God has chosen to make known, this is talking about to the saints, make chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. The Godhead in you. Living in you. The temple of God. I mean, there was no greater place on earth more beautiful than Solomon's temple. The Queen of Sheba came over because she heard about it, and when she saw it, she says, what I heard is not even half the story. It can't even be described. It was so beautiful, it was so wonderful, and it was so rich, overlaid with gold. That's where God dwelt. You know what? He doesn't dwell there anymore. He dwells in us. That's the whole mystery. And see, that's part of understanding by faith. When you ever understand that the very living Creator God that made everything, He gives me permission to breathe, lives right here. And so I have evidence in my life that I understand that and I lived in it. Got to get going here. The evidence of things not seen. This is what's going on in your heart. So, faith is a vehicle that reaches into heaven and brings heaven to earth. Everybody say, Our Father, Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's far enough. If you can understand that, if your faith can get a hold of that. See, that's the vehicle that brings heaven to earth. Through the power of the Word. The Word speaks it of what's in heaven. The promises of God. Jesus at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding for us. And He wants us to enjoy heaven on earth. I heard three amens. That is so wonderful. So powerful. Faith needs to be strengthened for that to happen in our lives. We have to be what God calls, what God said in Romans 4 about Abraham. 17, it says, as it is written, I have made you a father, Abraham, of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God. He started this faith thing. Abraham believed God and it was counted him for righteous. He was about 2,000 years from the flood. God looked for a man. He wanted to start a people on earth where he could be their God and they would be his people. Abraham, get this thing going. So Abraham says, okay, where you want me to go? I ain't going to tell you. Just start moving. Now that takes faith, doesn't it? You don't even know where you're going. All you're doing is listen to God. That's the Word of God. And says, okay, I'm going to do it. And then he walks with God. And he says, okay, Abraham, you're the father of many nations. I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to bless them that bless thee. And all the nations and all the families of the earth are going to be blessed because of you. You feel blessed today? Do you feel blessed today? Get your mind off of the food later. Stick with me. You know why you feel blessed today? Because Abraham believed God. And then it says, God counts those things that are not as though they are. Get your mind around that. That's the way we Christians live. That's what faith does. Faith is a vehicle that counts those things that are not, that are in God's words, that are promises, that are mine, that I know they're mine, and I'm going to count them, and I'm going to walk in them, and I'm going to believe them until I have them. There was nothing here until God spoke. That there'd be like, there's light. The power of God. The power of the Word of God. Faith is a vehicle that allows us to come to us. I have to move down to my two examples. One is biblical and one is mine. The biblical one is my favorite example, Noah. And it comes out of Hebrews 11:7. This is right after by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So Hebrews 11:7 says by faith. See, the whole chapter is about faith. This just happens to be talking about Noah. They talk about all the other people, but this is talking about Noah. But by faith, Noah, being warned of God. See, that's the word. That's the word. God spoke to Noah. Noah had God's word. So, by faith, Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen. See? He had to have faith. He heard from God. Now, Noah's going to, it's going to rain. Never seen rain before. Well, don't worry about it. It's going to flood also. Flood? I've never seen flood before. Well, don't worry about that either. There's going to be lightning and thunder, and the water's going to cover the earth. Now, those things had never happened on the earth before. By faith, Noah believed God. You know what the evidence was? It floated. The ark floated. That's the evidence. It worked. His faith worked. So he was operating in faith, hammering, doing all this, putting the tar together, and he was building this boat that was, you know, I used to fly off aircraft carriers. It was just short of an aircraft carrier. You know, I've been to Branson, and there they have this Noah's Ark thing going on. They have different presentations, but this one had to be Noah's Ark. And all of a sudden, you're sitting in this room. I mean, it's a huge room. I know it may seat 2,000 people, and you know everything's going on stage. And all of a sudden, the whole room is nothing but an ark. It's all these little compartments around you, and you're inside the ark. Huge. Noah believed God. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? You know, the people on the outside were saying, Noah, you stupid old man. Now, you know, some say 120 years. Recently I heard it took 100 years when you do the math and see all the generations. Let's just say 100 years. And people, Noah, you're crazy. You're wasting your life. Noah says, I'm believing God. God? Well, we believe in God, yeah, but He's going to cause a flood and this whole world's going to be destroyed. No, it's not. It has never happened before. We don't even know what a flood is. I don't know either, but I'm building this ark. So when the doors were closed and the rain came and the waters rose, they were knocking on. You know what? It was too late. It was too late. They missed the message. And when it was too late, they tried to make it right. You know, I don't know how that plays out all the way in our life, but a lot of times God is knocking, God is knocking, God is knocking, God is knocking. And every time a person resists God, the heart is hardened. But my challenge to you this morning is don't let it be too late for you. You have to be in the ark. And that means you have to accept Jesus as your Savior. That's the ark. The ark is an example of Jesus. That's like the mystery. The mystery is Christ in you. And so Christ in you is you in the ark. You believe the message. You exercise your faith. Okay. Down to this one. I got to see what my punchline is. I'm going to step down here. There's an instrument in every aircraft that's called the attitude gyro. Everybody say attitude. You know what the attitude gyro tells you? It tells you your attitude. That's what it's for. Now, I liken the gyro, which is right in, you're sitting in the cockpit, you got your stick right here, you got the power over here, and right in front of you is this big round instrument, your attitude gyro. And I liken it to the Word of God. You know what the Word of God tells you? Your attitude. Come on, stay with me. It tells you your attitude. So I want to relate to you an incident in an aircraft, A4C, this is A4C Skyhawk, that I had one night over Laos. It was a flight of four, and we, just like this, this is loaded with 250 multipurpose bombs. And the idea is you fly over to the spot, and you have a forward air controller in a little something like a Cessna, and he drops a flare at night. And so this flare is on a parachute. And as it's coming down, our job is to hit underneath that flare because there is a suspected campout of the Viet Cong there. So, you know, we each have about 10 bombs, and so four aircraft. That's a lot of bombs on this target. But the way we do it is, I was number four in this flight, so one comes in, pickles his bomb, and he goes off, and then two comes in, pickles its bomb, and it, so we got a squirrel cage going around. One in, one off, two in, two off, three in, and four in, that's me, I'm in, and four off. So we're just going around and around in a squirrel cage, go up to 7,000 feet, peel in, roll in, pickle about 3,500 feet, and pull out about 2,000 feet. Just a normal routine flight. Nothing exciting. Until on the last run, I'm in. Final run. Four's in. As soon as I'm in a dive like this, it's about, on a 35-degree dive, the flare goes out. So it's pitch, when I say black, I mean black. Out over the forest of Laos. Pitch black. So I just pickle a bomb. So the next thing is, you're supposed to go up and rendezvous at 7,000 feet, then go back to the carrier. So I'm like this. The flare goes out. It's pitch black. And so I'm going to pull out and go up. And what I see over on the horizon is the moon. So my mind says, like this, well, there's the moon. So that means I'm level. Because, you know, your mind says the moon's up here. So if it were right, I would be like this, but the moon's there, so I'm like this. But I think I'm like this. Okay, so what I'm trying to tell you is a lot of times you can get wrong information from your senses. They're telling you one thing, but you're not watching the gyro. You're not listening to the Word of God. And so when I'm like this, I think I'm like this, I am hurling toward the ground. And I don't really know that because it's pitch black, but my mind says, you're okay. You're okay. I hear something in my ears saying, you know, man, it sounds like my aircraft is increasing in speed. I look, oh, well, yeah, I am. And then it says, man, and then I see my altimeter unwinding. And I see my vertical speed is pegged. And all those instruments are telling me by the attitude gyro, if you don't do something, you're going to buy the farm, we say in the Navy. Crash and burn. So I got to do something. So I look at my attitude gyro, and sure enough, it's telling me I'm like this. Oh, my mind says you're okay. You know, you got those other senses. You got the little hairs in your ears that tell you whether you're, you know, sitting straight or leaning over. So no, I can't do that. So I got to pull the power off. I got to roll like this. So now I thought I was like this. So now I'm like this, and I'm thinking I'm rolling like this. I want to tell you how messed up you can get if you don't watch your attitude and listen to the Word of God. The number one thing that they teach you in flight training is believe your instruments. And I got a confirmation. My altimeter is unwinding. My vertical speed is pegged. My airspeed is increasing. Don't you get it, stupid? Someone's in the world. They're out there. They think they're okay. They're messing around. They're doing wrong things. They're making wrong choices. One tells them another. They do not listen to the Word of God. And so by listening to the Word of God, from going what I thought was like this, now I think I'm like this, now I finally really go like this. So now my attitude says your wings are level, but you're still pressing toward the ground. You got to make some more corrections. Believe the gyro. Believe the Word of God. Whoa, so now, I don't know where the ground is. All I know is I pickled at about 3,500 feet, and I don't know what the AGL I am above the ground, how tall the trees are. Some of those trees are 200 feet high. I don't know where I am. All I know is that I'm hurling now at the ground because of attitude, but now my mind says I'm like this, so now I start pulling up like this. I mean, by my gyro, I'm pulling up like this. But in my mind, since I was like it, now I'm going around like this. See? That's what my mind is telling me I'm doing. You're doing the wrong thing. So I'm pulling up like this, and finally the attitude gyro says, okay, you're straight and level. And as my mind is going around like this, and I study the gyro, everything comes into unity. Boom! And I sit in my cockpit straight and level. If I'd have continued, I would have crashed and burned. A lot of Christians continue in their lukewarmness, in their compromise. They know better, but they're not believing the Word of God. So the evidence was it works. It works. Will not believe the Word of God. It works. The evidence is real when I believe the substance. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. How do you get it? How do you get faith? How do you get this marvelous stuff, that substance? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. There's only one way that you can get established and be a soldier. Be a combat soldier. Be one that stands for the Word of God. Now I'm here to tell you this morning, if we continue on this vein of rebellion against God in our nation, you're going to need a foundation that's solid rock to stand in adversity, to make the choice a godly choice. It may be a hard choice. We're not really sure what the future holds. All we know is that God holds the future. Amen? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So, go through your levels. Do you have to memorize the Word of God? Three amens. It's like someone came to the preacher and says, "Preacher, why should I love my wife?" You know what he said? Because the Bible says so. That's the only reason you need. You love your wife because the Bible says so. You know why you memorize the Word of God? Because the Bible says so. That's the only reason. Now, I had a great advantage because I had a mother that was a Good News Club, and so she taught us a verse of Scripture every week. And then you join memory classes where you learn four verses a week. Did that for 6 years. So there's a memory bank inside me called the Word of God. It's my attitude gyro. And there's enough inside me to give me the information, the substance that I need to make the right choice to stand up here to give you evidence that it worked. Because you believe the gyro. You believe the Word of God. Increase that faith with the Word of God. Amen?